This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Friday edition of Game Misconduct. The next time I talk to you, we will know all of the seedings, all of the matchups, because there's really only one spot left to grab, and that is in the Eastern Conference. But let's start the conversation with what happened last night in the West. Congratulations to the Colorado Avalanche. They're in the postseason, and they deserve to be. Over the last three games in which they acquired 5 points in the standings, they spotted the opposition 2 goals and still found a way to get points. And last night was another perfect example as they fight back from a deficit and they get the win over the Jets by the final score of 3-2 in overtime to clinch the spot. Now, they had the spot clinched once they went to overtime, but might as well finish it off and get the victory. Scheifele and Ehlers give Winnipeg a 2-0 lead after one. But then Tyson Barrie gets his 14th. Carl Soderberg ties it midway through the third. And then it was Eric Johnson in overtime to finish it off as Colorado is now in the postseason. So congratulations to them. They're in. And also congratulations to the Arizona Coyotes. They deserve a lot of respect as well. The Coyotes ended up winning in Vegas 4-1. So if Colorado had stalled and lost that game last night to Winnipeg, they'd still be mathematically alive going to the last game of the season. But I don't think anybody expected Arizona to still be alive in the final Thursday of the season. So congratulations to them on a great year. If they can beat Winnipeg, they finish with 88 points, which I think is great. 39 wins, they got a chance at 40 if they can beat Winnipeg. So good job out of them. But now it's about seedings. Colorado is just a point back of Dallas, but Dallas has a game in hand. So it does look like Dallas will be that first wild card, and Colorado will hook up with Calgary in the first round of the postseason. I think that would be some terrific hockey, and we're looking forward to that. Now, the Eastern Conference, we still have one spot open, but really, Montreal's on a respirator. They lost to Washington 2-1. They just couldn't get the equalizer. Carey Price was great in this game, but Montreal just could not win in Washington. Meanwhile, Columbus was idle. So there's still a chance for Montreal, but they're going to have to get some breaks because Columbus has a game in hand. They got the game tonight at Madison Square Garden against the Rangers. They finish up against the Ottawa Senators. Meanwhile, Montreal has to beat Toronto at home on Saturday and then hope. So if Columbus were to get a win tonight with the Rangers in any way, shape, or form, overtime, shootout, regulation, Columbus would clinch a postseason berth and eliminate Montreal. So it can all be settled later on tonight. Now, Columbus still has their sights set on Carolina, and congratulations to them. They took care of business. They beat the Devils 3-1. So Carolina is going to the playoffs. Now, how eerie is this for the Hurricanes? The last time they went to the playoffs was 10 years ago, a decade ago. When they clinched that playoff berth in 2009, they clinched it on April 4th. So it's hard to believe on the exact 10th anniversary of the last time they clinched a playoff spot, Carolina does it again. And you see the footage there from Raleigh where fans are hugging each other. Listen, they may not have a fan base that is as big as the college basketball or certainly the Panthers in the area, but they are passionate. They've been through a lot. Imagine your team not going to the playoffs for a decade, not coming close, and then it finally comes together. So it's been an amazing season. What looked like it was going to be a rebuilding season for Carolina, they got it done. So congratulations to everybody involved there. Waddell, the general manager, Rod Brind'Amour did a great job his first year as head coach at Carolina. I think he's got an excellent chance to win the Jack Adams Trophy for Coach of the Year. But the Hurricanes can still get caught for that first wild card. So they need to be careful because Columbus has a game in hand, 3 points back. Carolina's going to finish in Philly coming up on Saturday, while Columbus, as I mentioned, they have the game against the Rangers, game against the Ottawa Senators, certainly two winnable games. And the reason that's important is nobody wants that second wild card because that means a date with the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round of the playoffs. I think Carolina can live with that because I think going to the playoffs, and even if they got swept, it's still a step in the right direction. Remember, Columbus made all those deals so they can make a run in the playoffs, not get bounced in the first round, okay? Let's make no mistake about that. We've talked about that before. You know, the Blue Jackets made those trades. They were a top three team in the Metropolitan Division, poised to have to miss Tampa until the conference final. They were hoping to win the division. They made the trades, and now they finish lower than they did at the time they made the deals, and now might be a first-round exit. That would be tough for Columbus to take. So the Blue Jackets will still, even if they win tonight and clinch a playoff spot, will still be motivated to win, catch Carolina. Not that the winner of the Metropolitan Division, congratulations to the Washington Capitals who clinched that last night, are going to be any easy out, but certainly Tampa looks like it's real. heavy lifting. Washington in, so congratulations to them. Another championship in the division, and this time they get a chance to defend their Stanley Cup championship as the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference and the number one team in the Metro, and they'll wait to see whether it's going to be Carolina or Columbus they dance with coming up Wednesday or Thursday when the schedule comes out. Islanders get a huge win in Florida against the Panthers. They have the 1-0 lead. Florida comes back to tie it, but then they're able to get to the shootout, win it in the shootout. So the Islanders have a 2-point lead on Pittsburgh for second place, which means home ice advantage in the first round of the playoffs. The Islanders will be at Washington coming up tomorrow, while Pittsburgh will be taking on the Rangers on Saturday. So both teams have different tasks. The Caps have already clinched the division. Meanwhile, the Rangers are just trying to play the role of spoilers. So I don't think anything is guaranteed right now. So if the Islanders were to lose that game, and then they would go to Pittsburgh, where the Pittsburgh to win that game, Pittsburgh would get the 2 seed and home ice advantage. The Islanders have not had home ice advantage in 31 years. The last time they had home ice advantage was in 1988, and they got bounced in the first round by New Jersey. But that's the last time. We're talking a long, long time, 3 decades. So the Islanders would deserve that. 47-27-7, 101 points, plus 29 goal differential. So congratulations to the Islanders on a great, great season. So 3 games going on tonight. You got the Rangers and the Columbus Blue Jackets. We know how important that's going to be. Stars and the Blackhawks. Stars trying to solidify the spot as far as the wild card is concerned for number one. Kings and the Ducks playing out the string. The Ducks will not play on Saturday, so this is their last game of the season. So that's what's happening there as far as the standings are concerned. In the Western Conference, we still have the battle as far as the top spot in the Central Division. Nashville with their win, they come from behind victory over Vancouver, 98 points. Winnipeg, 97. They've been in free fall, just 4 wins in their last 10. St. Louis, 7 wins in their last 10, 7-1-2 in that span. So St. Louis is a point back of Nashville, tied with Winnipeg. So things still very much up for grabs. Nashville can finish down to third. St. Louis can finish up to first. Nashville's going to close it out at home against Chicago. Winnipeg will be at Arizona. St. Louis will be home against the Vancouver Canucks. So all 3 winnable games for those teams. Arizona's already out. Vancouver's already out. Chicago already out. So it really is up for grabs who is going to be the third place team, having to play home ice disadvantage in the first round or possibly win the division and then get a date with either Dallas or Colorado in the first round. So things are definitely wild in the West. So there's a lot to play for coming up tonight and tomorrow. So it should be a lot of fun. I was hoping that Arizona would still be alive just for the fun of it. And they certainly deserved the chance to do that. Didn't happen, but congratulations to all the teams that have wrapped up a playoff spot. And congratulations for the teams that had surprising seasons. Montreal, even if they don't make it, I think they can hang their head high. They were the 28th team in the league last year. Not much expected them this year. Carey Price carried them right to the wire and could carry them into the playoffs. But if they don't, I think Montreal's got to be pretty proud of what they've accomplished so far and pretty proud about their future. So congratulations to them. It's Friday.
Don LaGreca's Friday Top 5.
Yeah! All right, we got a lot of teams that could be competing for this. A lot of teams closed out the season real strong to stake claim at this prize of being one of the top 5 teams. So let's start where we usually start, and that's at the bottom.
Number 5.
All right, let's give a little love to the Columbus Blue Jackets. They've really put things together. Now, they did lose their last game against Boston, but they had won 5 of the previous games to put themselves in this playoff spot when it looked like they were completely dead in the water. 6-3-1 over their last 10. They're getting great goaltending from Bobrovsky. Panarin's contributing. So Columbus Blue Jackets are poised to make the playoffs, and thanks to 5 wins over their last 6, and I've got them at number 5.
Number 4.
All right, let's dive right into those St. Louis Blues, a team that has just been a miracle worker of a team this year. A lot of credit goes to Berube. A lot of credit goes to their goaltending. They've really come together. Tarasenko has gotten hot, 7-1-2 over their last 10, poised to possibly win the Central Division after being the worst team in the NHL on January 2nd. Just an absolutely amazing story and well-deserved for them to be one of the best teams in the National Hockey League.
Number 3.
I think Washington has worked their way into that. Congratulations to them on winning the division. 6-3-1 over their last 10, plus 32 goal differential. 24 wins at home, 24 wins on the road. Absolutely complete team. They were threatened by the Islanders, threatened by Pittsburgh, and they really showed their muscle, making sure that they clinched the division and have a chance to guarantee them home ice advantage until the conference final. And I think Washington really likes the position that they're in. They deserve to be at number three.
Number two.
Well, the number two team, I think, is going to have to be the Boston Bruins. 7-3-0 in their last 10. Two consecutive wins. Plus 47 goal differential. The only team in the last week to figure out the Columbus Blue Jackets, and they spanked them 6-2 the other night. They're healthy. They're the one team that I think's got the best shot to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. Unfortunately, that is going to be in the second round of the playoffs, which absolutely stinks. We understand that. We've talked about that before. But I think the Boston Bruins poised to possibly make a run here, and I'm really, really looking forward to what this can actually be for the postseason for the Boston Bruins. Not talked about all that much because they're stuck in the same division as the best team, arguably, that we've seen over the last 25 years in Tampa, but Boston well deserved to be in the top five and at number two, and no surprise here.
Number one.
Yeah! I didn't do the math to see who was number one the most, but just off the top of my head, I would have to think that it's the Tampa Bay Lightning. The only thing you might want to be somewhat concerned about with the Lightning is they haven't played a meaningful game, it feels like, in 2 months. But how many six-game winning streaks have they had? Winning 7 of their last 10. 6-1 in the shootout. Plus 100 goal differential. The only team that's close is the Calgary Flames, 36 goals behind. It's just amazing what they've done. And give a lot of credit to Steven Stamkos. He's gotten hot, 44 goals here. Many people thought that he was on his way to the end of his career because of all the injuries that he has suffered, and Kucherov has stolen a lot of the spotlight. Now, Hedman's been out. They kept him out for the rest of the regular season, but the feeling is that he will be back in time for the postseason. So the only thing that could derail this Tampa Bay Lightning team, obviously, would be the injuries. But if they can get Hedman back healthy, keep all of their big stars going, there's no reason that Tampa isn't the clear favorite to win their first Stanley Cup since 2004 and just become the ninth team ever, to win a Stanley Cup winning the President's Trophy. All right, let's close out the week with your tweets, at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. Sam Diaz says, though it's tough to decide which team I want to make the playoffs, Montreal or Columbus, I think the Canadiens would give the Bolts a better fight in a playoff series. Agree? Just because of Carey Price, right? I mean, that's the thing. You get a hot goalie that anything can happen. And so Carey Price has had such a great close to the season. I think I'd agree with you. It's hard to really give a lot of credit to Bobrovsky, who has struggled in the postseason. Sam also gives his top five. He's got the Flames at five. I considered putting them in the top five, but I just don't think they played great down the stretch, although they were 6-4 in the final 10. Caps 4, Avalanche 3, Bruins 2, and the Lightning 1. The Avalanche certainly deserve a lot of credit the way they played down the stretch of the season. David Hines says, was happy for the Hurricanes breaking their playoff appearance drought last night. Now the longest playoff appearance drought belongs to Buffalo, 8 seasons, followed by Arizona, 7. I suspect the Coyotes will break that drought first. But how long? And that's the question. How long will it take? I think Arizona is going to be poised to be a playoff team. I think they're well coached. I think they've got a lot of good young players. Remember, Keller didn't have the greatest of seasons for them this year, and I think he will get better. And they will also get a good draft pick this year as well. Buffalo, I'm really confused by them. They did have the 10-game winning streak this year. We'll see what changes are going to be coming their way. Mike Lawrence says, what's your take on the top five picks in the draft? Heard Capo is turning heads lately. Where do you see the Rangers going in terms of need? Well, I think they'll go best player because they do seem to have a lot of good young defensemen in their system. They've got good goalies in their system. We're going to have a draft show before the draft. We'll probably get Craig Button on. We'll talk to EJ Raddick. Those guys really know, some of the young prospects that are going out. Everybody wants Hughes with the top pick. I always feel building a team up the middle is the way to go. If there are any centers out there, because when you really look at the Rangers centers, some of them have disappointed lately. Is Hedel where he needs to be? Is Anderson where he needs to be? Is Howden where he needs to be coming off that knee injury? So you can never go wrong, certainly drafting centers. NYR Fanatic says, I saw the end of both the Jets Avalanche and Devils Hurricanes games live. I'm glad I did because both games got me really excited for the playoffs. Absolutely. That was a great atmosphere, certainly, in Colorado, and even a better atmosphere in Carolina. I was there in Carolina in 02 and in 06 when those teams won. and then just to be so dormant. They did go to the conference final in 2009, but to go 10 years without going to the playoffs is just sickening for those fans. And to see the footage, go to Twitter, see it. You know, fans hugging each other, fans crying. I mean, that's how important hockey is to a lot of those people, and good for them to finally get into the postseason. Mario says, hey, Don, what duo from any era of hockey could you relate McDavid and Draisaitl to? I think they are a Taves and Kane. What do you think? Well, that would obviously be the first thing that would pop into my mind. One of the great combinations that I loved back in the day when they played in Toronto was Gilmore and Anderchuk. They were tremendous. Of course, you got Hull and Oates when they were in St. Louis. That's another great combination as well. So those are two of the ones that kind of pop into my head there. Ricky says, hey, Dom, I'm not a fan of the playoff format for multiple reasons, but the Islanders can play Pens or Canes. Under the old format, they would play the Leafs. Thoughts? Thank you and have a great weekend. Listen, the Leafs in the first round, considering it'd be Tavares against his old team, would definitely make you salivate. But you know what? You got a chance to take on the Canes ahead of the Leafs. I think you'd rather have that. Pens are going to be a tough out. I'm not in love with the Pens this year. I'm not in love with their blue line. I think their goaltending at times can be had because of the injuries that they've suffered. Now, the Penguins are going to be a very difficult out, especially now with Malkin and Letang both returning to the lineup. They're going to be healthy. So that's a big difference between the Pens and the Canes. And I'm not trying to disrespect the Carolina Hurricanes. They could be on some sort of a miracle ride here, but the Islanders have to stake their claim as well to being on a miracle ride. So good point there. Matt says, Glenn Sather stepping down. Who would you put in the role to finish the rebuild? Great question. A bunch of people have asked me that question over the last couple of hours. I'm most intrigued by John Davidson. Now, I don't know what his history is with Columbus as far as whether he's going to stay there or not. I can see Columbus cleaning house if there was any possibility of that team getting swept in the first round of the playoffs, because they would look upon everything being a failure. So could Kikkerainen in and Tortorella be out along with Davidson? I'm not sure. But there is a lot of talk that John Davidson could possibly be that guy. He's got ties to the Rangers organization. I know that he'd love to come back to New York. I think he's done a terrific job there in Columbus when you consider where they were when he took over. Spent a little time in St. Louis between his broadcasting job with the Rangers, then of course his job here with Columbus. Mark Messier is a name that's been thrown out there as well, but I'd rather have a guy with a little experience. I think John Davidson would be the perfect selection for that. Chris says, hi, Don. Since the Flyers were eliminated from the playoffs, they're 0-3, but outscored 16-5. Their play has looked effortless. Is there an indication of a bigger problem, such as a lack of leadership? Does Fletcher have his work cut out for him in the offseason? I think he does. I mean, we talked about this before, Chris. There's a lot of good young players on that team, but I called that game on Sunday. I was very disappointed. Now, they were eliminated the day before, but they knew their playoff chances were slim. And I saw a no-show against the Rangers, who skated circles around them. And certainly, as you said, 0-3 since that loss last Saturday to Carolina. Big disappointment. When you take a Wayne Simmonds, who was a leader, out of that team, it's going to be time for some of those young players, Auguste Despair, to step up. We'll see if any of the forwards like a Giroux, a Couturier, a Van Riemsdyk. I mean, they've been there a while now, so somebody's got to step up and be the man. So, yeah, I was a little disappointed in the way things finished there with the Philadelphia Flyers, but I'm still very bullish on their future. All right, a lot of fun today. Thanks for getting in touch with us. Big weekend for a lot of teams getting you ready for the postseason. Now, Monday we're going to have a full blowout as far as previewing the playoffs. EJ Raddick will join us, so we're going to do a lot leading into those first games on Wednesday and Thursday. And also Monday, we'll have all the details on the Don LaGreca Ice Pick Bracket Challenge. We're going to have a chance to win tickets, jerseys. It's going to be a lot of fun. So definitely stay tuned for Monday. We'll have all of the details and give you a couple of days to think about it and be able to fill out your bracket. So we'll give you the address to do all that. So all the details will be coming up on Monday. If I get them any sooner, I'll definitely tweet the information out to you, but should all be crystallized by the time we hit the air on Monday. So we're definitely looking forward to that. Please, everybody have a tremendous weekend. Back with you again on Monday. This was the Friday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.